Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Death of a Gigolo by Laura Levine, narrated by Amy McFadden. Prologue. The Los Angeles morning fog was rolling in, thick as whipped cream on a mocha frappuccino, but inside my bedroom it was bright and sunny, a technicolor world with Disney bluebirds chirping at my shoulders. The reason for all this sunshine and light? I'm thrilled to report that Cupid, who'd been snubbing me for years, had suddenly come flying into my life, pinging me with his arrow of love. Thanks to the wonders of internet dating, I'd reconnected with my ex-husband, formerly known as the Blob, now known as the most wonderful man in the world, or, as it appeared on his driver's license, Dickie Elliott. True, our marriage had been a disaster, littered with forgotten birthdays, serial unemployment, and toenail clippings in the kitchen sink. His, not mine. But over the years we'd been apart, Dickie had changed. Gone was the slacker in flip-flops rooted to the sofa watching Beavis and Butthead reruns. My former doofus Royale now had a steady job as a graphic artist and a condo in Venice with a spectacular view of the Pacific. I'd been seeing him for a while, 6 weeks, 3 days, and 14.5 hours, but who's counting, and had rediscovered the sweet, sensitive artist I'd fallen in love with when I'd first met him. Yes, Cupid was certainly zinging his arrow my way, and for that I was supremely grateful. I was lying in bed that morning, Cinderella in a got chocolate sleep tea, trying to ignore my cat, Prozac, clawing me for her breakfast, when my cell phone buzzed. Eagerly, I reached for it.
Morning, sweetie.
Do you hear angels singing? I did. It was him.
See you tonight?
He asked, his voice like warm velvet. My place at 7? I managed to say, after my heart stopped ricocheting in my chest.
Miss you.
He cooed. Miss you more.
No, miss you more.
No, miss you more.
No, miss you.
By now, Prozac was thumping her tail in disgust.
Any more of this goo? I'm gonna hurl a hairball.
After a volley of kissy noises with Dickie, I hung up to face Prozac's wrath. Sad to say, my kitty was not on board my love train. She sensed that this was something serious, and she didn't like it. Not one bit. No way was she about to relinquish her title as my significant other. I tried my best to explain to her that there was plenty of room in my heart for her and Dickie, but she was having none of it. Every time he stopped by my apartment, she was a hissing, scratching bundle of hostility. But I didn't have time to worry about Prozac. I had to shower and dress for a very important job interview. Yes, it seemed that love had entered my life in more ways than one. That very morning, I was headed off to apply for a job co-authoring a romance novel. My neighbor, Lance Venable, who, as a shoe salesman at Neiman Marcus, fondles the tootsies of the one percenters, had set me up with one of his mega-wealthy customers, a would-be romance novelist by the name of Daisy Kincaid. Admittedly, I had zero qualifications to write a romance novel, having spent the past several years writing ads for low-rent clients like Toilet Masters Plumbers, In a Rush to Flush, Call Toilet Masters, Fiedler on the Roof Roofers, and Tip Top Cleaners. We clean for you, we press for you, we even die for you. But the recent reappearance of Cupid in my life had inspired me to take on the challenge, not to mention the $10,000 Daisy was paying. I'd sent her a writing sample, a 7-page mini-romance I'd managed to dash off about a man and a woman in the same apartment building who fall in love when they keep getting each other's mail by mistake. It wasn't exactly Wuthering Heights, but I thought it was cute. I only hoped Daisy would like it and offer me the job. Breakfast duly scarfed down, I was gazing at a framed photo of Dickie on my coffee table, daydreaming about my possible new life as a romance novelist, and, not incidentally, the whipped cream on a mocha frappuccino, when I realized if I didn't hurry, I'd be late for my interview. After a quick shower, I popped into my official job interview outfit, skinny jeans, silk blouse, and blazer, accessorized with silver hoop earrings and my one and only pair of Manolo Blahniks. A dash of lipstick.